think of when you see a bird? Just a little bird, you think, what do you think? Well, scientists or naturalists, they would say that birds are an important part of the ecosystem, right? They would say that, you know, they pollinate plants, they spread seeds. Birds will gather things, take them from one spot to another. Well, another thing birds do is they control pests, right? They eat insects, maybe other rodents. They're a part of the food chain. Birds eat worms or bugs. And then when they're eaten by other animals, which are eaten by other animals, on and on and on. That's how scientists would look at birds. An artist, maybe a photographer, maybe a bird watcher, they're going to look at how beautiful the birds are. The colors of birds are unmatched in nature. The beauty of their effortless flight is awe-inspiring. Or maybe you're like me. I generally don't think about birds. I notice them every once in a while. I may hear them. But generally, I'm like, okay, they're there, right? But today, we're going to see that birds have an even bigger purpose than maybe you thought about. For Christians, looking at birds is a solution to one of life's major problems. It's a problem that plagues all of us. This problem leads to health issues, it leads to depression, it leads to substance abuse, misuse. Yet we will see that simply looking at birds can bring us relief from that problem. And that's because birds communicate a beautiful and powerful truth to help us through difficulties and trials. Looking at birds will bring us peace in a world full of trouble. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So I know my first three lessons were from the book of 1 John. The rest of the lessons for, obviously, this one, and then the lessons tomorrow are going to be from the teachings of Jesus. And so we're going to look at lessons that Jesus taught. Specifically, this one, obviously, is in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at the birds. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We're going to see that looking at birds is one of the solutions to overcoming anxiety. But first I want to look at the problem. What is it that we're anxious about, and why is this such a big deal? In this text, Jesus states that we can be anxious about what we eat what we drink, and what we wear. These are the basics that every human needs. Jesus says we could be anxious about those. He also shares in verse 27 that we can be anxious about the length of our lives. When he says that we cannot add a single hour to our life by worrying, we can be anxious about it. He also says that we worry about tomorrow in verse 34. Yet Jesus is not trying to give you every single list of anxieties in these verses. This is all he mentions. But we all have more, don't we? There's more things that we get anxious about. You may not be worried about food, but I bet there's other things that you are anxious about. Maybe it's politics or government. Many news organizations are in business because so many people worry about the government and what is going on in political parties. Your health, the health of yourself, your loved ones. Worry leads us to focus our entire lives, both our time and our money, in order to keep our health, in order to feel better, in order to live longer, which connects with that second one, our length of our lives. Career, school, or money. We worry about whether we will get the grades we need. We worry about whether we're going to get the promotion. We're worried about our 401k, our retirement account. Are we going to have enough to be secure? We're about not being good enough. This is one I struggle with. Being anxious about what others think of me. Am I doing enough? Am I letting others down? Added with this worry is, what am I going to be remembered for? We worry about change. No one likes change. We do everything we can to avoid it. Yet it's inevitable. And when it happens, what happens? We worry. We begin to think of the worst case scenario of what could happen. We worry about our future. A lot of the worries end up getting kind of compressed into this one, our future. We worry about my future, what's going to be like. We worry about our children's future. We worry about the nation's future, the future of health, the future of my career, whatever. As you can see in this list, we can be anxious about a lot of things, and almost every element of our lives can lead us to something that we worry about. So why does Jesus tell us to not? Why does He say, don't be anxious? Why is He so concerned about worry? Isn't this just normal? Isn't this natural? Everybody does it. Why is Jesus worrying about this? That's kind of funny that I said that. That wasn't on purpose. The reality is, Jesus knows anxiety is dangerous, and that it will affect our spiritual life. So let's look at why anxiety is the problem. Why is it a problem? Number one, worry is not productive. First thing I want to point out is that worry is not productive. It doesn't do anything positive to help our situations and what we're anxious about. We know this. We know this because we see it in other people. We see someone who is worried about something that we don't care about. We're like, what are you worried about? You can't change anything, right? I'm watching the game and worried about what's happening. And I'm upset about the ref's decision. I'm upset about the coach's decision. I'm upset about what the player did. And my wife, who doesn't care, is like, what are you worried about? You don't change anything. You're not even there. You don't make any... It's not productive. right? We do the same thing if we see someone who's maybe anxious about the political election. Maybe you're a person who just doesn't care about the politics, and they're staring at the news, they're reading every article, they're just diving in, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen in this state, and you're just like, who cares? You can't change it. It's not productive. Jesus says the same thing when he states that you can't add a single hour to your life by being anxious. It doesn't do anything. Listen to Luke's account of this same teaching where Jesus says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" A person who lives until they are 80 years old will live over 700,000 hours. And worrying, you can't add 1 hour to it. 700,000 hours, and you can't add one. Because it's not productive. Worrying will not make our lives or situations better. Worrying is just a distraction from what we truly need to be focused on. That leads to another reason why anxiety or worry is a problem. Worry shows we have little faith. Look at verse 30. In the middle of Jesus' teaching on not being anxious, he says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus states, when we are worrying about things such as food, drink, clothing, then we have little faith. And that's uncomfortable to say, and I know it's uncomfortable to hear, but it's true. When we worry, we are not trusting in God. We do not trust that He cares for us, or we do not trust Him to give us what we want or need, or we don't trust that He knows what is best for us. That's because worry and fear are the antithesis, it's a big word for me, the opposite of faith. Worry is the opposite of faith. If we are worried, then our faith in God is small. The third reason, why is it a problem? It's because worry spotlights our treasure. Our worries teach us something about ourselves. It gives us a glimpse into the things that we value, that we treasure. Notice the word "therefore" in verse 25. So this whole teaching that we just read, 25 begins with "therefore." Why? Because it's connected with something before it. Well, this is the something before it. Read verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then the next couple of verses explain that the eye is the lamp of the body, which is the idea that you keep your focus on what you are or will become. If your focus is unhealthy, then your life will be unhealthy. And then after those statements, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink." The things that we worry about show us those little hidden treasure chests in our heart. If I constantly worry about not having enough money or how to get more, that's showing me, it's putting a spotlight right on me, that I highly value money or security in my life. If I constantly worry about whether I am good enough, then that's showing me that I treasure myself and what others think of me more than God. Those treasures become our idols. We begin to serve them. We begin to worship them. And ultimately those treasures become between us and our relationship with God. We see this in verse 24. Right above our text here. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. When we worry, it's showing us that we have another master who's competing for our attention. And Jesus says you can't. You can't have two. You can only have one. Our anxieties pull us away from God. That's why it's a problem. These worries, these anxieties, they're not just a nuisance. They're not just a natural part of life that we just all have that we're just supposed to deal with and it's fine. It's not a big deal. They are dangerous. And we need to realize that nothing productive happens from them. We need to realize that it's showing that I have little faith. We need to realize that I have something competing for my attention and my worship. That I have a treasure above God. So that's the problem. I'm not going to end there. That would be a really depressing lesson. We know we all struggle with it. We know the problem. Let's look at the solution. I don't want to be overly simplistic to think that you're all going to leave here and never worry again. I know that's not true. But I want to put this little, I was going to say bug in your ear, but I like rocking your shoe better. This rock in your shoe that's going to help you. The next time you're worried, the next time you're anxious about something. Our faith is a process of growth. This isn't something that we just flip a switch and everything's fine. It's a process. Scripture shows that. Nothing gets fixed overnight. So we need to constantly remind ourselves of these things so that we can continue to grow. I'm going to give you one tip. This is for free. Read the Sermon on the Mount regularly. Kim and I are studying it right now, right, Kim? Peterson as well. Well, I know, Nathan, you're studying it too right now. Read it regularly. This is what Jesus wants you to know. All right, back to the lesson. All right, so the solution of our anxiety, of our worry, is, number one, look at the birds. Matthew 6:26. Read that with me again. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In telling us not to be anxious, Jesus tells us to look at the birds of the air. Why? Because birds represent a powerful truth about God. Jesus explains that the birds are always fed by God. They don't sow seeds. They don't harvest. They don't store the food in the barns. And they don't go hungry. God feeds them. In verse 28 is another example where Jesus brings up the lilies of the field. They don't toil. They don't spin for their clothing. Yet they are beautifully clothed by God. In verse 30, Jesus explains that God clothes the grass too. And then Jesus brings the point home. You are more valuable to God than birds and lilies and grass. You were made in God's image. Mankind is the crown jewel of those 6 days of creation from Genesis 1. That's who was made in His image. Not the birds. Not the lilies. Not the grass. Not the mountains. Not the sun. Those weren't in His image. You were. But not only that, God desired a close relationship with you. That's why He sent His Son to die. God wants to help you in this life. Therefore, if you are more valuable to God than the birds, and God takes care of their daily needs, what's He going to do for you? Yes, He will take care of you. He is taking care of you. And therefore, you don't need to worry about it. He's doing it. God wants to help you, yes, in the life to come. But God wants to help you now. God is helping you now. He is blessing you. I love this point about looking at the birds, because it shows that God has given us this constant reminder of His love and care for us. I want you to realize, you can see birds everywhere. You can see them everywhere. They're in the country and they're in the cities. I have walked in downtown Boston seeing a bird eat, I don't know what it was pretty gross, but it was eating something right on the sidewalk. A concrete jungle, and there are birds in it. Tingsboro, Massachusetts. I can bet I could find a bird in 5 seconds outside. There are birds everywhere. They're in the trees, on the power lines, flying overhead. They're eating trash. And we can hear them even if we don't see them. Don't miss that reminder. You're on a walk, and you're worried, you're stressed, and you see a bird, and you say, know what? God's got this, because He takes care of them. Let those birds whisper to you about God's care for you. Let their presence tell you God loves you, and He will help you. Second solution to help combat our worries and our anxieties is to seek God's kingdom first. Look at verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is saying we must get our priorities in the right order. I mentioned earlier that our worries spotlight something. What? They spotlight those treasures in our heart. The things we worry about are the things that we are treasuring in our lives. Yet these treasures, like our careers, our schooling, they compete against God for our heart and our focus. When we are living with constant worry, then it is signaling that our priorities are out of whack. And the way to end that competition is to seek God's kingdom first. His righteousness first. That means everything else is secondary. Seeking God's kingdom is not something that I relegate to a couple hours a week. It's not something that we constantly tell ourselves, I'll spend more time on it later when I'm less busy. Seeking His kingdom must become our focus and our number one priority. But I do want to say, this doesn't mean that we're not going to care about those other things. again, I don't want to be simplistic. I don't want to say like, oh yeah, yeah, just read your Bible 24/7 and everything will go away. That's not true. We have to take care of these other things. And by the way, this is also going to be a process. Like I mentioned before, our faith will have to grow. Anxieties don't disappear overnight. We'll still go through trials. We'll have other things to be anxious about, maybe that we're not anxious about right now. But when we keep God first, we will notice that He always answers the bell. What I mean by that is when the boxer is over in the corner and the bell rings, that boxer gets up. God always answers the call. He is always there for you. He never fails you. And every time that happens in your life, guess what happens? Your faith, your reliance in Him grows stronger. Every time you see God act for you, and you notice it and you pay attention to it, you will rely on Him that little bit more. Do you think the disciples were worried about getting in a boat with Jesus after He had calmed the storm? No, they're like, well, He's got this. No problem. Our faith will grow when we put His kingdom first in our lives. Our faith in Him will grow stronger. Our worries will lessen. This final point is simple, but I think it's powerful. One more solution. Pray to God. Life is going to happen. Difficulties arise. We will begin to worry about things. But God is not going to throw up His hands in disgust with our lack of faith. This goes back to the 1 John stuff, right? God's not just like, oh, I'm sick of these people. I'm done with them. Pulls out the eraser, just erases our name. He tells us to take our worries and anxieties to Him in prayer. I love that. So think about it. Jesus says, don't worry. But then we also get teachings like, if you're worried, give it to me. Give it to me. Look at Philippians 4:6. I've got it up here on the screen. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Again, don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. One more, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, doing what? Casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. As we learn from looking at the birds, the Lord cares for you. So those times when we feel the anxieties bubble up, then go to God in prayer. Hand it to Him. Tell Him about your struggle. Open up to Him about what you're worried about. This is a powerful lesson that, I think, Nathan, you were there. We went to a prayer, a Psalms study, right? You were there. We went to a Psalms study. That was a powerful picture for me of the Psalms. The Psalms sometimes feel raw. They feel ugly. Psalmist is talking to God in a way that feels uncomfortable. God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? The Psalms are for us because we can talk to God that way. God wants us to. Cast your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. God is a loving Father, and He wants to hear from you. He wants to help you. So give Him your anxieties. That is the solution. So this lesson, Jesus tells us, do not be anxious about your life. Sometimes that feels impossible. It's a mountain that I don't feel like I can climb. But it's not impossible if we follow Jesus' teaching. First, look at the bird. We need to let God's creation be our constant reminder. We need to let the sparrows, the blackbirds, the blue jays, the cardinals whisper Jesus' amazing truth. God loves you. He'll take care of you. And next, we need to realize our anxieties are showing that we have competing treasures that are trying to rule our lives. Instead of letting them take over, we need to seek God's kingdom first. Let Him be our priority. Finally, we need to pray to God when we feel anxious. Don't hide your worries from Him. Don't be afraid that He's just ready to just wipe you out. Come to Him saying, God, I'm afraid. I'm worried. I don't know what to do. I just had to chill for a second. Sorry. I just gave a sermon a few weeks ago. Jehoshaphat. No, they're right. Jehoshaphat's prayer. And he says this. He's afraid. He's worried. He has his armies coming. And he says, God, I don't know what to do. He says, but my eyes are on You. And God answered, because He always does. At this time, we're going to sing, God Will Take Care of You. Thank you for your attention.